Good evening. It is good to be here this evening. Nice, beautiful weather. Of course, I've been in the building all day. A little cooler than it was yesterday. As a matter of fact, that was last night. I was outside in shorts and a t-shirt on the cooking some hot dogs on the grill, and Britton and them left, and he came back and said the temperature changed like 40 degrees. Wow. Walked outside, didn't have any clue. Was ready to go back outside to get something in shorts. Said, better not. A little chilly. God, we see Him in everything. Whether it's the weather changing, the seasons changing, all the things around us, God is evident. Isn't it awesome to be a child of God? Tonight I want to share just a thought with you, a question actually, that has been asked so many times, and especially recently again, and I know we've talked about this, and I'm sure that you could talk about this yourself, and maybe you could point some things out even to me. But I hear this question often: what is the church? And I don't know how often you hear that question, what is the church? But I listen to people talking about at least this word church, and I hear a lot of people talking about it and saying things and quoting things, and I look at them and I wonder, do they have any idea what the church really is? And sometimes I think maybe even we forget or don't really think about what the church really is. And how do we understand and how do we know what the church is if we don't look at God's Word, if we don't allow God to tell us what the church is? Then we're confused. And I think too many times today, we understand the church in terminologies that the world would have us understand. Maybe in denominational mentality, this thought. And I know that we look back in the Bible and we look at the apostles and we realize that all of those men, the disciples, they were all a part of the church. And we look at that and we have no problem not seeing them a part of a body that is not a denomination. We have no problem understanding that. And yet when we look at and we try to define the church today, oftentimes we can't help but look at it in denominational terminology. So what is the church? If we ask that question and we go to Scripture and we try to listen and say, Lord, what is the church? We talk about that phrase or use that word, what is the church? What is it to us? If you were to have a piece of paper, maybe you need one tonight, because I'm going to share a lot of passages and we have no way of spending enough time on each one of them individually. If you want to write some things down, that's fine. Maybe you will want to do that and look those passages up later and read them a little more in-depthly for yourself. But there are a few things, when I think about what is the church, that I think we find in Scripture what it is. First off, the church belongs to Jesus Christ. There's absolutely no question who owns the church. Who does the church belong to? If you're asked that question, it's really simple. It belongs to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, especially in verse 19, before the church was ever established, the Lord talking to His disciples, He told them that He was going to build His church. As He's talking to Peter, and He said, well, Peter, who do you say that I am? And He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He said, blessed are you, Peter, Simon. For flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I'll call you Peter, or Petros, pebble, little tiny rock. And upon this rock, Petra, this bedrock, this immovable mountain, I will build my church. In no way was He talking about building His church on Peter, or establishing it upon him or the apostles. That's not what He was saying in any way. He said, I will build my church. On what rock? On this very fact of what Peter just said, that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And He says, on that rock, on that very foundation of faith, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overpower it. The church belongs to Jesus. He said He was going to build it. He promised that He was going to bring it into existence. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, He says that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. The head. You think about the head, what do you think of? It's what directs the body, right? It tells the hand where to go. It tells the hand what to pick up and how to use it. It tells the body, the feet, when to walk and to usually, now it tells the feet which step to step on and how to step on it. Sometimes my body doesn't listen to my head real well and I don't make it up the steps or down them. But I'm supposed to listen. He is the head of the body, the church. It is His. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23 says, as the husband is the head of the wife, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Christ, it's His because He purchased it. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Look at this with me. In Acts 20 and 28, he's talking to the elders, the church. And He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. It's His because He purchased it. There's no confusion about it. He paid the entire price. He paid a premium for this church and it belongs to Him. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19... knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We have been redeemed, we have been purchased, we belong to Jesus Christ. This church is His. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. He created it. He rules over it. He owns it outright. When someone says, what is the church? It's really simple. The first thing is, it's Jesus Christ. It belongs to Him. That's where we have to begin. If we're going to understand what the church is all about, if we understand what the church is, we have to go right here to this very thing. It belongs to Jesus Christ. Not only did He promise He'd build it, He built it. He purchased it. He owns it. And He rules over it today. What is the church? Well, not only does it belong to Christ, but it's made up of saved people. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, we actually just talked about this verse. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. He is the Savior. He saved it. He saved the body. What is the body? The body is the church. So the church is made up of saved people. People that have been purchased. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Jesus is our salvation. He is our peace with God. Through Him we've been reconciled, we've been redeemed, and ultimately are now part of His body, the church. Acts chapter 2. We know this is when the church was established. If we go back and we want to find out the history of the church, we can go back to Acts chapter 2. And we'll start looking at the Lord has been crucified and He was resurrected. And now the apostles are on the day of Pentecost and they're beginning to teach the people. And Peter is preaching this great sermon and the people there are listening to it and they're going, well, what do we have to do? What must we do to be saved? They're saying, here we are, we're listening to this message. Now what do we do about it? Where do we go from here? And the church was founded. The church began on the day of Pentecost by Christ and in Christ. And Peter responded and said, here's what you have to do. If you want to be saved, then you have to listen to what the Lord has for you. You need to make Him. You need to name Him as the Lord and Savior of your life. You have to confess Him before men. These are the things that you have to do. And in verse 41 and verses 47, it says, and that day, thousands in verse 41 were added to their number. Saved people. Just like today, there is a message being preached to the people about Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of all mankind, if they listen to Him. There was a great invitation offered by Peter, and several thousand on that day responded in the way the Lord wanted them to respond. And they were added to the number of the saved. They were added to His body, to the church, that very day. The same thing in verse 47. It says, and daily people were being added. Those people who were being saved were daily being added to their number. Now we've got to understand something right here. Salvation and church membership happen simultaneously. Now listen, because there's a little bit of confusion about this. Salvation and church membership happens at the exact same time. One doesn't happen today and another happen tomorrow or next week or next month. It doesn't happen that way. Everything, spiritually speaking, all spiritual blessings, you remember in Ephesians 1:3, happen at one place. And that's when we are in Jesus Christ. Salvation comes to those who are in Jesus Christ. No one outside of Christ has salvation. No one outside of Christ can be a part of the Lord's body, His church. It cannot happen. But the instant we become a child of God, the instant that we are immersed into Jesus Christ, into His possession, then we have all spiritual blessings in Him. Now we could spend weeks talking about all the blessings, spiritually speaking, that we have in Jesus Christ. All through the Bible. All through the New Testament. Talking about Christ and our blessings found in Him. But these things happen simultaneously. The saved, we belong to Jesus Christ. We are saved. That's what the church is. It's made up. It belongs to Christ, and it's made up of saved people. Not only, though, is it made up of saved people, there's also another phrase. And I know you've heard this. It's been said from this pulpit before, from Bible classes in this building, and from other churches that you've attended. The church is also made up of those people who are called out. The ecclesia. That's what the word church comes from. It simply means to call out, or the called out ones. It's real simple. And this idea of called is all through Scripture. Romans 1, 7 and 1 Corinthians 1, 2. And Paul is addressing the church at Rome and at Corinth. He says, to those who are called to be saints. In Acts 2, 39, he says, and for the promises, he says, well, as many as the Lord God has called. So this idea of being called, again, is all through the New Testament as well. We've been called to something. Now, this idea of being called. A lot of times we think of a telephone. I hope I don't have my phone on me. I could just see it going off. We receive a phone call and we answer it. What he's saying is we are being called from something. It's not being called like on a phone, but he's being calling us somewhere. He's calling us out of something. And if you're standing outside in a rainstorm and someone is saying, "Hey Cecil, come inside. I'm calling you out of that storm and into the relative safety of a house. I'm calling you out of something and into something else." It's a directional thing. That's what he's calling. That's what he's talking about here. Look at 1 Peter with me, chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter writes, he says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." You are chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. God, this is what you are. And God has done this to show forth His excellencies. Because He has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. See the direction? God is saying, come in out of the storm. Come in out of that and come in to where I am. Come into my presence. Come in and be a part of this body, to be a part of this church, the saved. This is who you need to be. Colossians chapter 1 and 13, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and into the kingdom of His Son." We are the called out. God's church, the Lord's church, is of called out people. People who have been called out of the darkness and into the light. So the question at this point is, how does He call us? And you hear all different kinds of things about how people have come to know the Lord and how they received this call. And whether it's on from a television or whether it's there just a burning desire in our mind or emotion or all kinds of ways that we respond or we hear this call, how do we really truly receive the call of God? How do we answer that call? Look with me in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning of verse 13. Paul writes, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit of faith in the truth. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Hear what he said? It was for this that He called you through our gospel message. If we are going to be the called out of that darkness and into light, there's only one way that we receive this call, and that is from God's Word, from His truth. We are called from the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how God calls us. We respond to that call. There is no other name under heaven which men must be saved than His name. And in Jesus Christ, how are we called? Through this gospel message. That's what Paul says to the Thessalonians. God calls people through the preaching of the gospel. People aren't called any other way. If they are, there's not truth in it. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to sit down and hand someone this and say, "You need to read this verse." We can preach the gospel or share the gospel with people through conversations. But if it doesn't originate here, then we don't have the truth. Cannot be called. It's not mysterious, is it? It's pretty simple, in fact. Obedience to the gospel calls us out of darkness and into light. That's how we become the called out people. It's through Jesus Christ. Through the message of the gospel. God's not trying to hide anything from anybody. Isn't it simple? I mean, sometimes we want to make it even more difficult than it really is, don't we? We want to make things meant all this theology, and we want to be able to memorize all these things, and it really boils down to pretty simple things. We are lost, and Jesus Christ came and gave His life for us, and He said, if you're willing to name Me as Lord and Savior of your life, I'll call you out of darkness and into My light. I'll change your life if you're willing to follow Me. I'll give you every opportunity. I'll bless you in ways you cannot even imagine if you're ready and you're willing to follow Me. I'll call you out of the storms and into the calm. I'll call you out of the darkness and give you light. God calls us every single day. He's calling us. He wants us to know Him. How many people in this world are in that darkness, in dark places, and don't know how to get out of it? How many of you have ever been in a really, really dark place with no lights? How long do you like to be there? Do you really, unless you're sound asleep... I've been to some haunted houses before. And you're walking through, and there's usually just enough light to be able to see the wall that you're about to walk into. And I don't know why we do that to ourselves. We like to be scared of that darkness, of those things, those monsters and goblins that are just around the corner or whatever they are. But if someone throws you into darkness... Now think about just not very long ago, Preston was with me and he was in the bathroom and he was messing around and doing. I said, come on, let's go. And he kept doing what he was doing. And, oh, I've got to make a basket, Daddy. I've got to wad up my paper towel. I've got to make a basket. That's all right. The first two or three times. We've got to go. Come on, come on. Now, just a minute, just a minute. And I said, no, I'm going to turn the light off if you're not. Come on right now. And I'm over by the door and I just flipped the light switch off for a second. What do you think he did? After he squealed and screamed. And he's ready for the light to be on. He's ready for there to be light in that room. He wants that. And how many people in this world are ready for light in their life to understand who they are and what this world has for them? They want to make sense of their life and the things that are going on in their life and their relationships and all of that. And they will never understand those things if they don't have Jesus Christ. If they don't know this gospel. They're ready to be called out of darkness. And we have the light for them. What a wonderful thing it is. I can remember another time I had a flashlight. And we were out way out in the country near a lake. And we were fishing. And we had a little lantern down and it was throwing light on the water right here. And someone said, look out on the water. And we flipped the light out there and there was a snake coming at us. A big snake. And it was coming right to that lantern. And I had my flashlight and before long I felt this nudge and I was getting closer to the water. And I'm like, whoa! And before long I turned around and I realized everybody with me is right behind me, right next to the flashlight. They want to be behind me and looking behind, you know, with my flashlight. They want the light. It's only natural for us. That's what he said. That's what being in the church is about. It's being called out of that darkness and finding the light. You and I have that light to share with others if we'll do it. It's there for us. The church belongs to Jesus. The church is made up of the saved. It is people who've been called out of darkness and into light. And it's lastly, I'm going to share this thought. It's non-denominational. Now, I know you've heard that phrase, and we see that on certain church buildings, even around town or in the city, in this state. And it's not. I'm not talking about today's understanding of that term. That term is really about welcoming anybody, where you are and who you are and the way you are and what you want to do and how you want to worship. We're just going to be glad and worship any way that anybody wants to worship. That's pretty much what that mentality. I may be oversimplifying it, but that's what it is. That's not what I'm talking about when I say it's non-denominational. What I mean by it's non-denominational is there are very clear pattern about the church. There are very clear understandings of what the church is all about. The apostles have written numerous chapters, hundreds, thousands even of words that we can look at that the Holy Spirit guided them into writing so that we can understand what the church is all about. Paul writes to the Colossian church in chapter 4 and verse 16. He said, "When this letter is read among you, pass it on. Have it also read in the church to the Laodiceans. And for your part, read my letter that is coming also from them." And he says, I want you to understand. What I'm writing to you, I'm writing to everybody. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 29. Let's just look at that real quick. Colossians chapter 1, 25 through 29. He says, "Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God, bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifest to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." I'm preaching to the Gentiles the same message of hope that the Jews are hearing. I'm not preaching anything different to you than anyone else. There is unity here. We're not divided. Peter's not teaching you something different than I am. None of the other apostles or any of the disciples or any of the preachers or elders or anyone else are teaching anything differently than what I'm teaching you. That's what Paul is saying. We're united in this gospel. We're united right here in God's Word and the thing that God has given us to understand. And we today, you and I, are united right here. That's what non-denominational means. We listen to God's Word. And if there are things that aren't here and we can't find those things in this Word, then we're not a part of that. I don't distinguish myself from someone else because this is how I feel. I want to worship on midweek on Wednesday night and you want to do it on Tuesday night, so I'm going to divide myself from you. We don't do those things. 1 Corinthians 4:17, he says, "I'll send Timothy to you, and he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach in every church." Whatever Paul teaches at one place, he's teaching at another. There's no confusion. Everybody knows what God expects, what he wants. And he says, we're not going to divide ourselves. You remember what he said? When you divide yourselves and say, "I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of all those," he said, "Oh, that tears God's body up. I didn't die for you, did I? No, Jesus Christ died for us. It's His church. He saved us. He brought us out of darkness and into light." I think it's interesting when he reminds the Romans, and he hasn't even been to see these people. He doesn't know them. He's heard about them, but he hasn't been there with them when he's writing this letter. And he's talking to them, and he says in Romans chapter 6, he reminds them of their salvation. He says, you know, our salvation, both of us attained our salvation in the exact same way. We were buried in Jesus Christ, and we were raised to a new life. He's reminding them of that. He doesn't even know them. He hasn't talked to them. Now he says, "Now I've tried to come to you on several occasions, and hopefully one of these days soon, I will get to come to you. I will get to come and visit with you." But he reminds them of their salvation, and that it's in Jesus Christ is where their salvation comes from. We're united. It doesn't matter if you're worshiping with the church in Galatia or in Corinth or in Colossae. It doesn't matter, he's saying. We're all one body. We all belong to Jesus Christ. He's what unites us. We're not a denomination. We're not divided. We are one body. Today, there is one body. No matter what other people want to say, no matter how much people want to divide things, there is only one body of Christ. Things have not changed from the day of Pentecost to this very day today. This word has not changed any at all. Now, I know people who have tried to change it. And you know, sometimes maybe I've even done it in my life. And someone, I thank God that there was someone who's talked to me and said, "You can't do that." Why can't I? Because God's Word says, there's our call back. Ever coming back to God's Word. You want to understand what the church is? We've got to go to God's Word. God's church belongs, this church, the church, belongs to Jesus Christ. This church is made up of saved people. This church is made up of those who've been called out of darkness and into this light. This church is non-denominational. It belongs to Him. We follow His Word. We listen to His Word. That's where our identity comes from. Isn't it simple what the church is? God's not a God of confusion. God wants us to know what His church is all about. He wants us to have the assurance because we are part of this body. When we became a Christian, He added us to His church. And He's blessed us with everything. And today, you and I, as everyone else does, we have the opportunity to be a part of God's church. We have an opportunity to be a part of His body. Just as everyone else in this world does. And I don't know, there may be someone here tonight that is not a part of God's body, of His church. You have that opportunity. You don't have to leave not knowing. There are absolutes in our faith. God gives them to us. He doesn't want us to wonder where we are. He doesn't want us to go home at night and wonder if the world were to end, if we'd be welcomed into heaven or not. He wants us to know with absolute certainty that we are His children. And if we're part of His body, if we're part of His church, we are saved. We've been called out of darkness into His light. And we're going to be welcomed home, just like all of the other faithful, His faithful children have been throughout time. I don't know where you are tonight. Are you a part of His church? Are you a part of the church? God's body? Lord's body? The same way today as it was when the people responded to Peter. What must we do? We've got to know Jesus Christ. He's got to be our Savior. And we've got to be immersed. We've got to clothe ourselves with Him so that we can come in contact with His blood. And then we will receive all the blessings the Lord has in store for us. Where are you tonight? Are you a part of His church? You have that opportunity tonight. You can leave with absolute certainty and confidence in where you belong and who you are. And if you want that tonight, if you need to respond to Him and you need to become a child of God tonight, we can do that with you right now. We would love that opportunity. Maybe there's something else in your life you need for us to pray for you. Isn't that one of the great blessings of being children of God, being in His church? Is to pray together. What an awesome opportunity for all their brothers and sisters to pray for you. How much better do you feel when you know that people are praying for you? Isn't it a blessing? Tonight, if there's any way you need to respond to Him, to the Lord's invitation, not mine, but to His, if you need to respond to Him, won't you do it right now while we stand and we sing together?